This morning's message is entitled Seeds of Hope. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, please? Seeds of Hope. Here's a familiar scripture for you. And I'm going to try and take the test. By the way, I just want to let you know, for those of you who are listening on the CD or on the internet, or for those of you who are sitting right here in church, I am trying to find an hourglass. And the hourglass needs to be a half hour long, so I can put it up here and you can watch the sand going down and you can have hope when it reaches the end. And then I can dash that hope when I turn it around. So I am looking for an hourglass. They're extremely expensive unless you buy the cheap knockoff down at Christmas tree shops. But I'm looking for an old antique real ship's clock, ship's hourglass. They cost about $3,000. If anybody feels led. I was talking to an antique guy yesterday, and I was talking about, I said, he owns an antique store in Milford or something, and I said to him, hey, let's talk about hourglasses. He says, well, you could spend $20 and you could spend about $5,000. Which one do you want to spend? I said, well, I don't know. The clock is ticking. It is now 29 minutes and 57 seconds until I finish the sermon. Or not. And I want to just read from Mark chapter 4. Let's read it together. The parable of the sower. And again, he began to teach by the sea. Pause. Pause the clock. Just kidding. But I thought it was very apropos that Jesus began teaching this while he was at the sea, and it turns out we're all at the sea. We're here on Cape Cod. It was just appropriate for today. So I thought, how interesting that he would teach a parable about farming to fishermen. Doesn't seem like it would have any real impact in their lives, maybe, although perhaps they understood the visions. But it seems like in our day and age, we're always trying to find the next gimmick to reach people with teaching or with the gospel, and we always got to be cutting edge. I just want you to know what I got out of reading this verse when I saw that Jesus was teaching this at the sea. This is what I got out of it, that you don't have to be cutting edge to be used by God. God uses ordinary people. Okay, so for those of you who think that you're over the hill, okay, in some way or another, or maybe you were just never cool enough, or maybe nobody ever paid any attention to you, I want you to know that was then, this is now, and the gospel message which you have inside of you is what people need to hear. So it doesn't matter that you don't have the best technology or that you don't have the best presentation. It doesn't matter if your teeth are askew and your breath smells funny. If the gospel message is the truth, it will touch the heart of the one that God sent you to reach. So don't be intimidated by what the world thinks about you. Do you remember when they went to look at the promised land the first time back in the days of Moses and Joshua? You remember what happened? They sent out 12 spies and 10 of them came back saying, oh, there's giants in the land. And they think that we like grasshoppers in their sight. That's interesting. They were so afraid of what other people thought about them that they weren't willing to step into what God had called them to do. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about you. It's what God thinks about you that matters. And I want you to know, God loves you. And God thinks the world of you. In fact, he thought so much of you, he sent his only son to die for you. That ought to be more than enough. So set your heart at peace. You don't have to be the best looking person in town to be the best evangelist in town. Know what I'm saying? In fact, you don't need to be any best anything. Jesus is the one who's the best. You just need to be the messenger. So this morning, we're talking about sowing the seed of God's word. You are going to be the sower. And that's what this week is all about. This second week of our 21 days of living truth in action. And we'll talk about that some more. But back to verse 1. And a great multitude was gathered to him. Still think I can do it in 27 minutes? And a great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat down on it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables. And he said to them in his teaching, listen, verse 3, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I could read the rest of the passage to you, but I'm sure that many of you are familiar with this passage already. So on account of that, I'm not going to read the rest of Mark chapter 4, except for one little verse, verse 14. And I want you just to turn there, and if you have a highlighter or a pen, you can underline it in your Bible, or you can just write it down on that little bulletin, on the back of the bulletin where it says notes. On the back there, you can write it down. This is the key verse for this week. What does it say? It says, "The sower sows the word." The sower sows the word. This morning, I want to notice not the grand teachings that we could gain out of this parable as to, you know, how to prepare the soil and how to get, you know, just the right people and make sure that you're not one of those that's going to have what God has planted in your heart quickly removed by the devil. I'm not going to talk about that. If you want to hear about that, you can listen to Reuben's sermon from Wednesday night, which was outstanding, by the way, Reuben. Well done. And we can make copies of Reuben's sermon if you'd like to hear that. You can get them later. But here's something I want you to notice about the word that was sown in this particular parable. Do you notice that 3 out of 4 of the recipients didn't get it? Did you see that? The first one, stony ground, rocky ground, thorny, the birds, all these first three, Jesus says, didn't grow any fruit. The last one, however, it increased, it multiplied, it produced fruit, and it produced three different categories of fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Well, I want to pull something out of that real quick in the light of evangelism. But before I do, let's just think about evangelism and this week, your week, right here, the second week of August in 2010. We have challenged you as a church, the leadership of the church has invited you to participate with us in a 21-day challenge. The 21-day challenge is to live the truth of God's Word in action in your life. Last week, we spoke about not grieving the Holy Spirit for the full 21 days. Now, we shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit at all. But for some of us, we need something we can bite off and chew. And 21 days seems like it's something we could all get a hold of, okay? Bite off and chew in a time of fasting. Maybe I shouldn't have used that analogy, hey? But anyway, here we have 21 days for you to ask the Lord to speak to you about those who do not know Him. During the first week, the first 7 days from last Sunday until last night, I asked you to consider just one individual who you know does not know Christ, to spend the week praying for them and to look for opportunities to speak to them about the Lord, to be intentional about sharing your faith with them. Did any of you manage to do that? Were any of you able to speak or to represent Christ to those? I hope you were. And I hope you have some testimonies about that. I hope that there's an ongoing testimony. And on August 22nd, we'll have the chance for you to give testimonies at our open mic day, where we'll share testimonies of what happens over this full period. But I want to encourage you, for those of you who found it a struggle, to share your faith with just one individual that you know who doesn't know the Lord over this week. The challenge isn't over yet. You can still reach them. They're still here, somewhere in the world, and you're still here, and the Spirit of the Lord is still with you, and I want to encourage you to continue praying for them. I want to encourage you to continue reaching out to them. I want to encourage you to look for ways to share the love of Christ with them in their hearts and in their lives, and be intentional about bringing the conversations around to the things of the Lord. Anybody ever talk to anybody else about the Lord and find yourself kind of stuck in the quagmire of football or baseball, or talking about the news, or some new dress that your friend bought, or something like that? You ever get stuck there? Or somebody tells a bad joke, and suddenly the moment of sharing the gospel seems to be gone? I want you to know something. It's not gone. The moment's not gone. Just snatch it back. Snatch it back. Don't get stuck in the shallows. You have life inside of you, and the world needs that. This week, our challenge is to take the Word of God, which is your seed, and to go out into the world and to sow that in places where you don't know what the soil is like. You don't know whether it's going to be soil receptive to the seed, the Word of God, or not. I'm asking you to take the next 7 days, starting today, and to go out into your world, and in the course of your day, as you run into people, be sensitive to the voice of the Lord, and to give that person a verse of Scripture which I'm going to give to you. In fact, I have them up here in this basket. You've been wondering what that basket was all morning, haven't you? Somebody came and said, is that candy? Can we eat it? Is it chocolate? Because, you know, sometimes I have chocolate up here. And it's not chocolate, but it's better. It's the Word of God. It's sweeter than honey. And I have these cards, which we've made up for you. On the front of it, it says, Timeless Truth from God's Holy Bible. That's all it says. And on the back of it, it's got a verse. I've got 8 cards in each of these little packs. I know we were going to have 7. I've given you 8 so that you can have 1 extra at the end of the day, at the end of the week. But each one of these contains a scripture, and that scripture is a scripture which is specifically selected for you to give to some stranger this week. This is the challenge. You've got to pray in the morning. I will seek you in the morning. I tricked you. You sang the song, now you have to live it. Okay? I will seek you in the morning. That means those of you who stay up late at night and get up late in the morning, you got to change your habits for this week. 7 days, you got to get up early. Okay? I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. Okay, you're going to learn to walk in God's ways because you're listening to his voice. You're saying, God, I've got 8 cards here. Each day it'll be one less. I got these cards here. Which verse do you want me to carry with me today? And the Lord is just going to impress on it. It's very easy. You don't have to sit there and wait for thunder booming in the heavens. Okay, because that's probably not going to happen. But there'll just be a little inkling in your heart as you're going through the cards. Maybe one of them will fall on the floor and you'll be like, oh, okay, thanks, Lord, that's the one. Or maybe you'll read through the scripture and it'll just jump out at you that day. And you'll say, okay, Lord, that's the one. Okay? What you're going to do then is you're going to set up your heart for a divine appointment that God has already prepared from before the time you were born. This is very cool. It's not a magic trick, okay? It's not a magic trick, but it's almost as amazing to behold something like this taking place. Because this is a random card that you're going to be choosing, and you're going to go out in the day and you're going to select a random person based on that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, because you got the card in your pocket and you're saying, okay, Lord, this is the verse. Who am I supposed to give it to? Now, in the course of every day, you actually interact with many, many people. I think the least number of people that you will probably interact with in a single day is about 50. Whether it be a person that you walk past at the mall or on the way to the post office, or somebody that you sit next to at your workplace, or maybe it's somebody in the grocery aisle or at the checkout. You interact with people all day long. You really do. The gas pump attendant. There are people all around you, and I want you to become aware of every single one of them. God wants you to become aware of every single one of them, because believe it or not, every single one of those interactions is an opportunity for the gospel. You say, but God, I don't know anybody. It doesn't matter. You don't have to know them. He knows them all. He knows the number of hairs on their head, the Bible says. He knows they're getting up and they're sitting down. They're coming in and going out. He knows everything about them. And here's the amazing thing. God has prepared long ago that you would be obedient to take one of these, and you're going to find this week those divine appointments are going to happen. I've prayed that you'll be sensitive to his spirit, and I hope that you will. So you're going to have your heat-seeking sort of missile system on, okay, and you're going to walk out into the mall or into that, you know, Panera Bread at lunchtime or whatever, and there's hundreds of people milling about, and you say, okay, Lord, which one? And they're just going to glow red in the corner, a little haze. Okay, that's the one. And you're going to walk up to that person, and you're going to say to them, this is for you from God. And you're just going to hand it off to them. That's about as simple as it could be. What you could also do is you could walk up to them and say, I sense God wants to give you a message. They're going to say to you, you're weird, you're cuckoo, man. See ya. And you're going to say, hold on. I just want to give you one verse from him. Would you please read it? This is a message God sent me to give to you. And you're just going to give it to him. It could get a little more intense than that, because the verses that I've selected actually have meaning. And if you know the meaning of these verses and you've become a little more well-versed with them, you might actually have even more to be able to give, rather than just kind of shooting an arrow in the dark. you might actually have a prophetic utterance for this person. Because I'm asking you to be prophetic in the way that you minister to them. Now, some of you are saying, what in the world is prophetic? Okay, let me explain prophetic. There are two realms. There's a visible realm and an invisible realm. The invisible realm is around us all the time. It's the realm in which angels and demons exist. It's the realm in which God the Father is seated on his throne. It's that spiritual realm that we can't see, but it's as real, more real than what you can see. It's the eternal realm. And it's with us all the time, around us all the time. In the Bible, we read stories of how God gave certain individuals the privilege of being able to see beyond the veil of the natural world, into the spirit world, into that supernatural world. And they saw, like the servant of the prophet Elijah or Elisha, who saw the chariots of fire surrounding them in the mountains and the angels of the Lord. There was Balaam and his donkey and how the Lord opened up his eyes to see the angel standing there with the sword ready to lop his head off. There were many times when people saw beyond the natural into the spirit. I believe very much that what happens in the natural is under the influence of what's happening supernaturally around us. There are spirits over an area, spirits of wickedness that influence people in wicked ways. Sometimes you can drive into a town and you can just feel, it feels weird. Something senses different and you think, oh, that's crazy. Then you don't pay any attention to it. But actually what you're sensing is an extension of the shadow of evil in that town. Sometimes you can walk into a place and just feel the peace of God. You're like, wow, this place is peaceful. And if you're not familiar with that, you don't know how to explain it. You're just like, wow, this place feels great. Maybe you walked into church this morning and you felt, wow, this place feels like home. You know why? It wasn't just because we're nice people. And we are, most of us. Except me, right? Most of us are nice people. But it's not the nice people that made you feel welcome here. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. And you felt welcome here because God welcomes you into his house. Even if we rejected you, God welcomes you. See? So you felt the extension of the light, not the shadow. God wants us to be like light entering into the darkness. And when you go into a place, you carry the light of God with you. So you just think that you're walking in there with a card, but the truth is you're a light shining in a dark place. And those cockroaches are going to scurry into the corners. Those devils out there are terrified of you when you walk in the authority that God has given you in Jesus. So you're going to walk in the authority of God's word as a messenger of God. You're going to carry the message. And you're going to deliver that message to that individual. And I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of God anoints the Word. And the Word, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, that the Word goes forth and does not return void, but accomplishes that which it is sent forth to do. Just like the rain that comes down from heaven and the snow that falls, so the Word produces fruit. The sower sows the Word. So here are some of the scriptures that I've selected for you that I feel the Lord led me to select for you. There are many scriptures in the Bible. And this is an exercise which I hope, of course, would just be the beginning for you. As you begin to experience the ease of use of this method of evangelism, this prophetic method where you're taking the verse, you're listening to God, you're saying, who do you want me to give it to? You're going to that individual, you're giving it to them, you're listening. Maybe God even tells you something about that person. Like, hey, I just sense like you're having trouble with your kids. Can I pray for you? And they say, how did you know I'm having trouble with my kids? God told me. Who is this God? You think it's crazy. You think it's crazy. Jesus did this. You remember the woman at the well in Samaria? Jesus goes up to the woman at the well and he says to her, hey, so how about you give me something to drink? And she says, forget it. Basically, I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. He says, no, seriously, if you knew who was asking you, you'd ask me and I'd give you something to drink. She said, who are you? And so he begins to share with her, and she gets into a religious discussion with him, which currently, you know, is kind of like the trend. Whenever you talk to somebody about the Lord, they're like, well, how do you know that you're the only way? You know, I mean, you Christians, you always want to say there's only one way to God. And what about the Buddhists? You know, what about those wonderful people who spend their whole entire life chanting on a mountaintop in, you know, Tibet? And how can you say that they're not sincere? I mean, they must be sincere. And how can you say they're wrong and you're the only one, you have the only way? Don't get involved in discussions about that kind of stuff. They're just trying to do the same thing that Samaritan woman did. The way she put it was, hey, you're such a, you know, such a prophetic guy. How about you tell me? You Jews say we're supposed to worship the Lord over there in Jerusalem, and we Samaritans say we worship the Lord over here. It's exactly the same thing about the Buddhists, the Hindus, all that kind of stuff. Well, how can you say that you're the only way? You know what Jesus did? He bypassed all of that nonsense, which doesn't affect the individual at all. You know, even if you can work your way through all those mysteries, the truth is everybody's an individual who has a real life and they're dealing with real issues. That's where God wants to reach them. So Jesus says, forget about all of that. He said, the day will come when God will reveal all of that, okay? But in the meantime, tell me about your husband. That's what she said. She said to him, I'm not married. Jesus said, you're right in saying that you're not married, because I perceive that you've had five husbands and the one you're with right now you're not married to. Oh, that's prophetic. That's listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit inside of him, and he spoke it out. God gave him an insight into that individual's life, and God will give you the same thing too. And so she's sitting there saying, oh, wait a second. How did you know about that? She runs off and tells everybody, I met a guy who told me everything I ever did. All it took was one statement. And you might say, I perceive that you're having trouble with your kids. Can I pray with you? I know what that feels like. But I also know that there's hope in Christ. And they might just burst into tears right there. Or not. They might just punch you in the nose. But that's okay, right? Be persecuted for the gospel's sake. Okay, so here are the scriptures. The first one. This is a great scripture. This is a scripture I selected because I thought about many people out there in the world who are just weary. Anybody here ever felt weary before? You know what the word weary means? And you guys live it, by the way. You live weariness. It's like all over the American culture. Maybe not on Cape Cod in the summertime because everybody's on holiday. But the truth is we're always working. I mean, we busy up our schedule so much. We are so busy. I think it's like a badge of honor. You say, how are you doing? Oh, busy. I'm doing great, but man, it's busy. Man, I wish I could take a break. And it's like, everybody's like, yeah, yeah, I know exactly how you feel. And we're proud of it. Well, I want you to know it doesn't have to be that way. God's got a better idea. It's called rest. It's called a Sabbath. It's called not being anxious about tomorrow. It's not worrying about how you're going to make it all come together. It's about trusting in Him and learning to live with less and be satisfied with whatever God gives you. It's a powerful message, guys. In this time, it's a powerful message to walk up to somebody and say, have you ever tried resting? Well, what do you mean? You ever tried trusting in God? God? What's God ever done for me? There's an open door. Okay, so here's the verse. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. This is taken from the Contemporary English Version. Okay? It says, don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the eternal God, the creator of the earth. He never gets weary or tired. His wisdom cannot be measured. The Lord gives strength to those who are weary. Even young people get tired and then stumble and fall. But those who trust the Lord will find new strength. They will be strong, like eagles soaring. I asked the Lord what kind of messages He wanted me to prepare to give to you. I said, Lord, is this a Jonah? Is this a time of Jonah where we need to go out in Nineveh and we need to stand on the corner and say, the end is near, repent or die? Is that how you want us to go? Because then I've got Romans 3:23, you know, the wages of sin is death. And we can give those out. We're just big old words around the wages of sin is death. Ha, 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 here. You know, sorry, not for you, not for you, for you, for you. I know you're such a sinner. The Lord said to me, no. He said, for this season, Eric, I do not want to bring the message of Jonah, the warning that destruction is about to happen. Instead, I want you to present a message of hope. That's what God said to me. This week, I want you to send the people out with a message of hope. You ever heard that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance? The world has got such a skewed image of God. And we Christians haven't helped a whole lot with that. There's such confusion in the church global. There's such confusion in the church in Massachusetts all the different denominations and everybody wrestling and wrangling over what's sin and what isn't sin. And you know what? There's just a bad picture of God out there. And God said, tell the people, if they come to me, I'll heal them. That's his heart. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4? Do you remember it? He's standing in Nazareth in the synagogue in front of the people. Six minutes. Think I'm going to get it done? So what if I don't, right? Jesus standing in Nazareth in the synagogue, and he brings them good news, and they want to kill him for it. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Recovery of sight to the blind. Opening of deaf ears. Deliverance to the captives. To preach the acceptable day of the Lord. The day of the Lord's favor. Now, if you read Isaiah 61 and you read the passage that Jesus is actually quoting, there's a lot of stuff he left out. There's a lot of stuff he didn't say. And that's why they got angry with him, because they wanted to hear him talk about the wrath of God and how God is going to smite everybody. But God didn't want to present that message right there. Jesus came to present a message that even while we were yet in our sin, Christ died for us. That's the message Jesus came to show. Jesus came to say God loves you and he wants to invite you to his banquet. All you have to do is accept the invitation. Now, we do recognize that we have to present a gospel message that shows people clearly that they're sinners, that they need a Savior, that Christ is that Savior, and that they will not have access to the Savior's powerful and effective blood unless they receive him. And receiving him requires a prayer and baptism and a life of sanctification following him. We do need to process them through that. But before you can get to the process, they need to know that God loves them. That God is going to reach out to them in the midst of their sin. That God does care. So God will bring strength to those who are weary. The next card says, Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. This is from the Message, slightly adapted. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out, plans to take care of you, not abandon you, plans to give you a new future and a new hope. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I will listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. Isn't that great? It's a great verse right there. That's for the person who's lost and who's afraid of their future. Do you know the world's anxious? There's a lot of anxious people out there. That's a beautiful verse to give to anxious people. Okay, here's Psalm 91, verses 1 through 4. This is for the person who's struggling with disease. Okay, here's one. Those who go to God Most High for safety will be protected by God All-Powerful. I will say to the Lord, you are my place of safety and protection. You are my God, and I trust you. God will save you from hidden traps and from deadly diseases. He will protect you like a bird spreading its wings over its young. His truth will be like your armor and shield. And they'll say to me, but I don't know God, and God doesn't love me. I don't qualify. And you say, yes, you do. You do qualify, because God died for you while you were yet, Christ died for you while you were yet a sinner. All you have to do is say, yes, Lord. And he will be your God, and he will be your healer. And God will heal your heart. And even if your body is claimed by your disease, your heart will be healed forever. There's hope in that. Isn't that wonderful? Here's one for somebody who's just right on the edge. Somebody who's about to fall off and needs to be rescued. Listen to this. God says, your cry came to me at a favorable time, when the doors of welcome were wide open. I helped you on a day when salvation was being offered. Right now, God is ready to welcome you. Today, he is ready to save you. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2 from the Living Bible. Today. You hand that off to someone and you say, today is the day of salvation. You're going to read that verse and you just don't know, because I've prayed that it's divine appointment. And listen, even if 3 out of 4 just take the card and toss it in the garbage, 1 out of 4 is going to see that and is going to cry out to God and say, how did you know? How did you know? Okay, here's another one. Psalm 139, verses 16 and 17. Love this verse. It's great. You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you're thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn towards me. And when I awaken in the morning, you are still thinking of me. Did you know that God thinks this way about the sinners? Did you know that? God thought about you and me before we ever said yes to Jesus. That's why we said yes to Jesus. Here's another one. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 12. God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered. He's rich in love. He doesn't endlessly nag and scold nor hold grudges. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. As high as heaven is over the earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him. And as far as sunrise is from sunset, he has separated us from our sins. Isn't that hopeful? Okay, here's one more. John 3:16 and 17. Pastor Darrell insisted that we have this one for you. That's why we have 8 cards instead of 7. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. God gave his son so that whoever believes in him may not be lost but have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to judge the world guilty, but to save the world through him. 1 Corinthians 10:13. But remember this. The wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new and different. It's time to go. That's it. This is the closing for real. I'm not kidding you. I'm only going to be a minute over time today. For real, this is the verse that started the whole process. Okay, I was driving to New York in April, and I drove by a billboard somewhere between Springfield and the Massachusetts border on the way to Albany. And I saw a billboard on the side of the road, and it had 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 on the billboard. That's all that was there, a message from God, a blank billboard with writing in the middle of it. And I saw that verse, and I thought about the Christians who had the gumption to spend the thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars, to put a single verse on a billboard. And I thought, you know what? That's powerful. This is the message that billboard says. Adapted, this is the Living Bible version. They had it in the King James, but this is the Living Bible. But remember this. The wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new and different. Many others have faced exactly the same problems before you. And no temptation is irresistible. You can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. For he has promised this and will do what he says. He will show you how to escape temptation's power so that you can bear up patiently against it. There's somebody this week that's on the edge of doing something that will ruin their lives forever. And you're going to give them this card. And when you do, everything's going to change for that person. This morning, I challenge you. This morning when I started out, I had 175 of these packets in here. First service people took a bunch of them. I said, take one, take two if you want, take three, I don't care, take as many as you want. You can hand out as many as you like. I just want you to hand out at least one every day for the next 7 days. 175 packs of cards, 8 cards in each pack. If 1/4 of those people actually respond to God's word, it's about 200 people. Maybe it's more than that. How's my math? 400 people. It's a lot of people. God wants his word to go forth in all the world. Will you carry it? I want to remind you, it's day 8. Some of you are fasting. Thank you. Continue to do that. Fast so that you can listen to the Lord. That's the purpose of the fast. The fast isn't so that you can twist God's arm and get God to hear you. The fast is so that you will hear God. So turn off the TV and pray. Or turn off the radio and say, okay, God, who? Where? Where do you want me to go? God may be very specific. He may say to you, I want you to get up right now, and I want you to walk down that street, make a right. When you reach the end of that, I want you to take a left in the third house there, knock on that door, and give the card to that person. God may be specific like that. He does that kind of stuff all the time. He may not be. It may be a lot less glamorous than that. And you may get to that door, knock on that door, and have somebody yell at you. Okay? You've got to be obedient anyway. I want to challenge you. It's day 8. Continue your fasting. Continue being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit in your marriage, in your relationships with your children or your parents, at work, with your ethics or your morality. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We've got 2 weeks left to go. Keep your vigil.